All right, now we're ready to begin. It's good to see all of you here. As I said, when Mr. Lamore reached out and asked me to do a split sermon at the feast, I said, well, sure, no problem. Because I had just read this book entitled The Theory of Evolution by Charles Darwin. And it said in that book that everything came from nothing. Am I on the lapel, guys? Everything came from nothing. And basically, one big bang happened and everything fell into place. And I thought, I read this and I thought, that is awesome. Man, that's going to cut my sermon writing time down to practically nothing. So I jotted some thoughts down on some paper and I'm going to go ahead and write this message now. All right. In conclusion, well, I did actually write a message. And as crazy as that seems, there are people that study these things and have studied tossing paper in the air to see if it would ever land on something legible, on something sensical, on anything like that. And it has been determined that it will never happen. I could throw those papers in the air as many times as I wanted to, and it's never going to happen. Similarly, the theory of evolution simply doesn't work. So why is it that so many people work so hard to try to make it work? Well, number one is, if creation is how things worked, that means we have to admit that there is a higher power and a higher being. And if we have to admit that there's a higher power and a higher being, then there's a good chance that that higher power left us a set of rules, a set of instructions that we need to follow. And it just so happens that we all have a very handy set of instructions, a very handy set of rules that we can follow. One of the funniest things that I hear people say is, well, I don't believe in God, I believe in science. And I always chuckle when I hear that statement because one of the things that the late Charlie Kirk said many, many times was there has never been a scientific discovery that disproves the Bible. And in fact, it's quite the opposite. There are a number, hundreds, I haven't even, I've been studying this my whole life and I haven't even begun to scratch the surface of how much the Bible and science ties together. Just as Mr. Foraker mentioned in his message, we're here picturing a time when we get to help build the kingdom of God. We are have the opportunity to serve under Christ to build the kingdom of God, just like was talked about in by Mr. Dobson in yesterday's message. It's a servant leadership. We're going to be working. We're going to be working with God. So what I thought would be fun is if we spend some time examining some of the things that the Creator has already created, because we're going to get to do something new with Him, but let's take a look at some of the many things that He's already created. Let's begin by turning over to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65, we'll begin in verse 17. Can we go to the PowerPoint? There we go. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17 says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people as a joy. This is the thing that we get to have a part of. This is what we are going to help God to create. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 148. Psalms chapter 148. That would be Proverbs. Let's go to Psalm. There we go. Psalms chapter 148, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all the stars, all of you stars of light." Now, that's a really interesting passage right there. And the reason that's such an interesting passage is because many, many years ago, NASA created a radio telescope. This radio telescope was designed to listen to sounds out in the universe. And what NASA's original intention was to see if anyone was trying to contact us. And so they made this giant radio telescope, and it swivels through the sky. And what they did was they pointed this at a star, directly at a star, light years away. This star right here is PSR B0329-54. But when they pointed this telescope at the star, the most amazing thing happened. Are you guys getting this? We can drive it up just a little higher. That was the sound that they picked up from the star. Now, let's take a look at another one. This is a pulsar. This is a Vela pulsar, 1,000 light years away. This star erupted and then enclosed back in on itself. And when it did that, it started rotating on its axis 11 times per second. That didn't seem to get anybody excited, so I would invite you to stand and turn on your axis 11 times per second. And it becomes a little more impactful what this star is doing. So they pointed the radio telescope at this star, and this is what they heard. Absolutely fascinating. He said, "Praise him, all you stars." And what we find out is that the stars are actually making music, praising God. Let's look at another one. This is millisecond pulsars. And this one blew me away. So the verse continues on in Psalms 148, verse 7. It says, "Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths." Well, if the stars are praising God, then the sea creatures must be too. So what does it sound like when a whale is swimming through the great deeps of the ocean? Okay, that's pretty cool, but missing something, right? Because I'm a very, you know, literal person. I kind of start thinking about, okay, what are they saying? What are they singing? And so I got with my son, Wesley, to help me out here because he's way better at these things than I am. And I thought, what would happen if we took all of the tracks that we just listened to and we laid them on top of each other and added a song to it? So what we did, now I can't express this enough. We did not edit these videos in any way. This is exactly what the telescopes picked up and the sounds we got from the whales. And we laid it on top of another track. And this is what we came up with. Isn't that just fantastic? So when the Bible says, praise him, all you sun, moon, and stars, and all you sea creatures, we now have the technology to understand that God is being praised by his creation. I'll revert back to the introductory comment. This is the creator that we will be working for in the world tomorrow. This is something we get to have a part of. So now what I want to do is switch gears, and we've talked about the sounds, but now I want to talk about the size. Because for me, this was literally life-changing when I learned this, because when I was a young person going to the feast and hearing the messages about serving in God's kingdom, I thought, yeah, that's cool. You know, I got some thoughts for God, something I might do a little different here. But I started studying and learning more and understanding how big God is. And when Mr. Foraker read that passage from Solomon about there isn't a temple that can contain God, I think what this next section that we're going to go through is going to really magnify that scripture. Let's turn over to Psalms 33 and verse 6. Psalms chapter 33 and verse 6. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And that struck me when I was studying this, because if I think back to John verse 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And then, but Psalm, David, who lived way before Christ ever came around, said, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He literally breathed out all of the stars, the entire galaxy, billions and billions of stars, stars that we still haven't seen, stars that we still can't see, a vast universe that we have no idea the depth of. God breathed it out. He made it happen in an instant. This is one of the galaxies. This is the Whirlpool Galaxy. And I only put this in here because it is just so beautiful. This is a galaxy comprised of billions of stars. It is 327 million light years away, I think it is. No, 327 light years away. So you can't get there during the feast. Going to take a few days. But it's just a beautiful example of the artwork that God has put in the night sky. What I'd like to do is come a little closer to home. And in this vast world of the universe that we live in, we kind of have our own little neighborhood over here called the Milky Way Galaxy. Now, I want to talk to you about this picture because I actually saw this in person. This picture was taken at a men's camp out that we had up in Colorado. And I'm standing here, and I think I asked Mr. Ashley's permission to use this. Do I have your permission to use this? Thank you. Mr. Ashley took this photo at our men's camp out. So we all that were there got to see this shot live. An absolutely stunning picture of the Milky Way Galaxy. And then we draw in a little closer to home, and we have our beautiful blue ball that was created just for us, the Earth. Now, who can tell me what the closest star to the Earth is? The sun, that's right. And that is our sun right there. You probably don't want to touch it. Its surface temperature is 10,000 degrees, and its estimated core temperature is 27 million degrees. It kind of explains the heat in Texas, doesn't it? It only takes 8 minutes for the light to go from the sun to the earth and bring with it the heat that we all feel. Got my notes out of order here. Now, let's put this into a little bit of perspective. So, if the Earth was a golf ball, the sun would be 15 feet wide. That picture right there is approximately 3 feet wide. So imagine that 15 feet wide, and here is the Earth. Let me put it a little different way. This is the Earth, and somewhere you're on it. Do you find your spot where you're at? The sun is so big that you could not walk up to that screen with a Sharpie and make a mark that would equate to the size. But that's nowhere near the biggest star, not even close. In fact, I'm not even talk about the biggest stars because I didn't have enough time to get the full research done on it. So I'm going to talk about a couple of the giant stars in our galaxy. This first one is called Betelgeuse. It is 427 light years away. This star is twice the size. You thought I was going to say the sun, didn't you? This star is twice the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun. If you were to take and stack six Empire State Buildings on top of each other, that would be the size of this star if the Earth were the size of a golf ball. I can't even fathom just how big that is. I mean, we're going to have our Earth here, and I think I'm about right there. Imagine six Empire State Buildings stacked on top of each other. That's the size of this star. You can fit 262 trillion Earths inside this one star. That would be enough golf balls. If the Earth was a golf ball, that would be enough golf balls to fill the Superdome 3,000 times. This star is a giant, but this next star that I'm going to tell you about shrunk me down a little. Because, there's many times when I'm in prayer and praying to God, and I have a lot of good ideas, and so I tend to offer God some advice and try to help him out, along the way. And then I read about this star, and I didn't know how to talk to God for a while. This star is called Canis Majoris, translated Big Dog Star. And that is just exactly what he is. If the Earth was a golf ball, Canis Majoris would be the height of Mount Everest. Just imagine, if you will, climbing all the way up to the top of Mount Everest. And you finally make it to the top, and you're looking out, standing on the highest mountain in the world. and you reach into your parka and you pull out your golf ball. And somewhere you're on it. You could fit 7 quadrillion Earths inside Canis Majoris. If the Earth was a golf ball, that would be enough golf balls to cover, where are my Texas people at? There we go. 7 quadrillion Earths is enough to cover the entire state of Texas. 22 inches deep. This is a big number. This is a huge number. One that I can't even fathom. And so when I say, when Solomon says that there's not a temple that can hold God, boy, did he know what he was talking about. The problem that I have is that when sin enters in, it starts to grow, and sin has a tendency to shrink God and puff me up. So the God that we're talking about, this magnificent creator, starts shrinking down. And I become puffed up. And what happens when I'm having that argument with my siblings? What's going on when I'm having an argument with my spouse? When I'm dealing with that trial that's so hard and it's just not fair and it's not right and why is it me? And God can get tossed away. Just like a golf ball. But the wonderful thing, brethren, is that God is also very forgiving. And God has one desire. And that is a relationship with you and me. For us to have a part in His kingdom. For us to be able to build His kingdom. Because you see, God doesn't just specialize in building giant things. God also specializes in building very tiny and intricate things. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 33. Just a few pages over. Psalms chapter 33 and verse 12. Psalms chapter 33 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven, He sees the sons of men. From the place of His dwelling, He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually, He considers all their works." So a very long time ago, longer for some than others, a cell from your mom and a cell from your dad came together, each one having 23 chromosomes. And those 23 chromosomes began writing the code that would become you. God already knew the code, but the code was being written. And that was the form of your DNA. Now, the interesting thing about DNA is that DNA completely and totally disproves the theory of evolution. Because the theory of evolution says that everything came from a single cell and multiplied over time into everything else. The theory also says that if one part of the theory is disproven, the entire theory is disproven. DNA is comprised of three equal parts. One cannot work independently of itself. It takes all three working together for the DNA to work. As you got a little older, approximately 4 months before you were born, that became a 3 billion character makeup. Every DNA cell has 3 billion characters. If we were to take one DNA cell and stretch it out, it would be 6 feet long. And it would take 96 years to count, or to count each character if you counted the characters of a DNA cell. Your body is comprised of approximately 75 trillion DNA cells. If we stretch those out at 6 feet apiece, that would be long enough to go to the moon and back 178,000 times. I think we'll all read this next scripture just a little differently. Let's turn over to Psalms 139, verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. I'm going to back up one verse. And as I do, I'm going to play a video for you. So I'll ask you to turn your attention to the screen. Honestly, this one doesn't seem to be... There it goes. Okay, here we go. Psalms 139 and verse 12. Excuse me, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. What you're watching right now is a 16-hour time lapse of a nervous system forming in a baby. When God says he knit us together, it wasn't satire. It's exactly what happened. He formed us in our mother's womb. Another amazing thing that happens in the womb that I didn't know was that 1 million nerve endings start reaching out, just like in the video you just saw, and they start searching for 1 million endings in the eye. And each ending has to match up with its partner. And as that baby is forming, those 1 million nerve endings come together, and all of a sudden there's sight. I think I understand why my wife was so tired every time she was pregnant with one of our children. There was a lot going on in there. Let's turn back to Revelation 21 for our final scripture. Revelation chapter 21, we'll begin in verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. I didn't even begin to scratch the surface of the magnitude of God's creation. I could talk for another 2.5 hours just about the human body and how detailed and perfect God made the human body. What I wanted to get across today, brethren, was that we're here to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, a time when we all get to have a part in building this. And taking a look at the things that our Creator has already created, reading that this is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, it's going to be even better. Yes, I want to be a part of that. Yes, I want to be there. This is real. This is absolutely mind-boggling. So as we leave here and head back to our homes and head back to our everyday, I hope we can remember what the end goal is and not allow the trials and the tests and the frustrations to shrink God down. But let's keep God as magnified and glorified as he is and shrink us down to match.